the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to page 30 of your English books. Page 30 of your English books. And it is the chapter of Wafatun Nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the author, rahimullah, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he died when he was 63 years old. Some say that he was 65 or 60, but the first view is what is correct. His death occurred on a Monday during mid-morning after 12 nights had passed in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal. Some say it was after 2 nights had passed or during the beginning of the month. He was buried on Wednesday night. Some say it was a Tuesday. And his illness before death had lasted for 12 days. Some saying it was 14. His body was washed by Ali ibn Abi Talib, his uncle Al-Abbas, Al-Fadl ibn Al-Abbas, Quthm ibn Al-Abbas, Usama ibn Zayd, and Shukran, his freed slave. And the process was attended by Aws ibn Khawlah Al-Ansari. He was shrouded in 3 pieces of cloth from Sahul, a city in Yemen. There was no shirt or turban. The Muslims offered the funeral prayer individually without an imam. A piece of red velvet that he used to cover himself with was spread underneath him. Al-Abbas, Ali, Al-Fadl ibn Al-Abbas, Quthm and Shukran entered his grave, which was blocked by 9 stone blocks. He was buried under the place of the bed he was in when he died. The niche was dug in the grave in the home of Aisha radiallahu anha. Later Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma would be buried next to him. So this chapter is regarding the death of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the sunnah of Allah, the nature which Allah created his creation upon, is that there is nobody who is born except that that person shall die, without any doubt. Even if that person is the most beloved person to Allah subhanahu and his greatest wali and the most virtuous and pious person, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, however, the nature which Allah has created people and creation upon is anybody who is born has to die. And as for the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this was mentioned and prophesied in the Quran in a number of ayat. So Allah said, addressing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, innaka mayyitun wa innahum mayyitun. You, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, verily you will die. Wa innahum mayyitun. And they, either mushrikun, the people of Quraysh, they will also die. ثم إنكم يوم القيامة عند ربكم تختصمون. And then all of you on يوم القيامة in front of your Lord تختصمون. Will you settle your dispute, either dispute of Tawheed and Ash-Shirk. And also Allah said in the Quran, وما محمد إلا رسول. Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, he is only a messenger. قد خلت من قبله الرسل. And before him, many messengers passed by. Afa immata, if he dies, or qutila, or he is killed, in qalabtum ala aqabikum, will you turn on your backs? Wa man yanqalib ala aqibayhi falan yadurra Allah shay'a. And whoever turns on his back will never harm Allah with anything. Wa sayajzi Allahu shakirin. And Allah rewards the people of gratitude. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was a human being, and therefore everything else which occurs to human beings occurred to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he was born like humans are born, and he passed away like other humans die, and he was afflicted with pain and hurt and he became ill, and he went through moments of happiness and sadness and gain and loss and so on and so forth. And Isa alayhi salam, even Isa alayhi salam, whom Allah raised before he died, even he will descend on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And then he will also die like the rest of creation. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he only passed away after the religion of Islam was complete. After he had fully conveyed the message of Islam, did he sallallahu alayhi wasallam pass away. And after the tribes of Jazirat al-Arab, after they accepted Islam, did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam pass away. And from the last chapters of the Quran which was revealed was Surah An-Nasr, in which Allah said, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, when the victory of Allah comes and the conquest, i.e. the conquest of Makkah. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا, and you see people entering into the religion of Allah in great numbers. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ, then glorify the praises of your Lord and seek forgiveness. إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا, verily he is the most, or he accepts repentance. When this surah was revealed, many of the companions, they rejoiced and they were delighted, because Allah subhanahu, he was prophesizing the victory of Islam and the authority of Islam and the conquest of their original homeland, Makkah al-Mukarramah. However, amongst the Sahaba are those that when this surah was revealed, instead of laughing and rejoicing and delighting, they cried and they wept. And the various narrations mention how Abu Bakr and Umar and Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Abdullah ibn Al-Abbas, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, how these various companions, how they cried when this surah was revealed. And the reason why they cried is because they understood that this surah, it symbolizes the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In this surah, Allah is informing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that once the religion is complete and you have conquered Makkah and people start entering into Islam in many numbers, then your days are coming to an end and you will soon pass away. And in Sahih Bukhari, Ibn Abbas mentions that during the Khilafah of Umar radiallahu anhu, i.e. a few years after the death of the Prophet, Umar radiallahu anhu, he gathered some of the senior companions and he asked them about Surah إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. So the majority of the companions, they said that in this Surah, أَمَرَ اللَّهُ نَبِيَّهُ إِذَا فُتِحَ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرُهُ وَيَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ, that Allah is ordering the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that when the conquest of Makkah happens, then seek forgiveness and repent. And then Umar turned to Ibn Abbas and he said, مَا تَقُولُ يَا ابْنَ عَبَّاسِ, O Ibn Abbas, what did you understand from this surah when it was revealed? Ibn Abbas said, لَيْسَ كَذَلِكَ, it wasn't like this. This wasn't the intended meaning. وَلَكِنْ أَخْبَرَ اللَّهُ نَبِيَّهُ حُضُورَ أَجَلِهِ, rather, Allah was informing his Prophet about the coming of his time, i.e. death. So Allah said, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, when the victory of Allah comes and the conquest, فَذَلِكَ عَلَامَةُ مَوْتِكَ, then this is the signal for your death. And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu mentioned that this surah, Surah An-Nasr, the Sahaba, they used to call it Surah Al-Tawdi'. And the meaning of At-Tawdi' is farewell. Because this was the surah. By this surah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was bidding farewell to this dunya. Ibn Mas'ud said, لِأَنَّهُمْ عَلِمُوا, because the companions knew, أَنَّهَا إِذَانٌ, that this is an announcement, بِقُرْبِ وَفَاتِ الرَّسُولِ sallallahu alayhi wasallam, about the near or approaching death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the 11th year of his hijrah from Makkah to Al-Madinah, he suffered a severe fever and also painful headaches. And despite this illness, he kept leading the companions and the Muslims in salah. And then in the last week of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sought permission from all of his wives that he could retire to the hujra, the chambers or the room of Aisha radiallahu anha. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to divide his nights between his various wives to fulfill their rights upon him. However, 1 week before the end of his life, before his death sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked permission from all of his wives that he is allowed to retire to the room of Aisha radiallahu anha and spend the rest of the days there. And of course, the wives of the companions, they accepted. And it's mentioned that he, at that time, he was too weak to walk himself independently. So he leaned upon his cousin Fadl ibn al-Abbas and also Ali radiallahu anhuma, both of them. And he was taken to the room of Aisha radiallahu anha. Then 5 days before his death sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the fever kept increasing and becoming more severe. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would faint and then recover and faint and recover. And 5 days before his death, he wanted to address the people. So he requested from his companions that they bring him a bucket or a utensil of cool water because he was suffering from a fever. So the companions brought him some water and he cooled himself down with this water. Then after that, he entered into the masjid, and at this time he had a band which was tied around his head because of the severe headaches which he was suffering from. And he sat on the minbar and he made a speech or an admonishment to the people who were gathering. And the first thing that he spoke about was at-tawheed and making sure that nobody turns to shirk and nobody starts worshipping the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after he dies. So the Prophet mentioned the famous hadith, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى اتَّخَذُوا قُبُورَ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ مَسَاجِدٍ. May the la'na of Allah, may the curse of Allah be upon al-Yahud wal-Nasara, because they took the graves of their prophets to be places of worship. May the curse of Allah be upon al-Yahud wal-Nasara, because they took the graves of their prophets to be places of worship. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them, La taj'alu qabri eidan. Do not make my grave an eid. And the meaning of eid is from the verb ada ya'udu, something which comes, like the two Eids, for example, they come periodically every year. And Jum'ah, it is the Eid of the week because it comes and again and it occurs again at the time of the week. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he forbade the Muslims from taking his grave as an Eid. And the meaning of this is that it isn't permitted for a person to periodically go and visit the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning, a person isn't allowed to say that every Thursday I'm going to go visit the grave of the Prophet, because now you have made it an Eid. Or a person says that on the 11th of every month, or the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal, on the 1st of every Ramadan, I'm going to go and visit the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the meaning of, don't make my grave an Eid. But it's permitted for a person to visit the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as much as he wants to do so without making it a routine. So if, for example, in a particular week, a person visited the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam 3 times. Coincidentally, he was in Al-Masjid al-Nabawi al-Sharif and he visited the grave of the Prophet 3 times. Nothing wrong with this. But as for making it something which is periodic, i.e. every Thursday, every Friday, the 1st of every month, the 11th of every month, this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade his companions from. And then after he gave a small admonishment to the people, he descended from the minbar, from the pulpit, and he led the dhuhr prayer. He led the companions in the dhuhr prayer. And then after this, he returned back to the minbar on the same day. And then he asked the people that, do I have a loan that is upon my shoulders for anybody from amongst you? Is there anybody amongst you that I owe money to, I need to pay him back? And it's mentioned that a man stood up and he said, O Messenger of Allah, you owe me 3 dirhams, three silver coins. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he ordered his cousin Al-Fadl ibn al-Abbas radiallahu anhuma to pay the man his money and finish the loan. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on the same day, he addressed the companions and he spoke about the rights of the Ansar. And he also spoke about the rights of women. And he spoke about the matters of Salah and other important matters. Then 4 days before his death, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his pain became even more severe and his fever became more severe. So he dictated 3 things to be executed. The first of these 3 things, that the Jews, the Christians and the Mushrikun, they should be expelled from the Arabian Peninsula. So there is no more shirk in that area and there is only the religion of At-Tawheed. And for this reason, it isn't allowed for churches or for places of worship to be built in the Arabian Peninsula. The second thing which he dictated was that the delegates and the missionaries and the emissaries who come from the other kings and from the other lands, that when they come to the lands of the Muslims, they should be honored and treated with respect and treated with justice. I.e., it isn't allowed for a person to oppress or kill the messenger of another king or another ruler. And then the third thing which he dictated was that the people should be steadfast and diligent upon the 5 salawat. And also he emphasized again and again taking care of the rights of the slaves. Again and again he mentioned, take care of the rights of the slaves. And 4 days before his death, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in spite of the severity of his disease and the strain of his illness, he kept leading the Muslims in prayer. However, on this day, he kept fainting and regaining consciousness. And each time he regained consciousness, he would ask, have the people prayed yet? And the people were still waiting for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to come out from his room. And then the Prophet fainted again. And then he woke up again, said, have the people prayed yet? And the people were still waiting. And then he ordered Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to lead the people in prayer from now on. And this was the Prophet alluding to the fact that Abu Bakr is the Imam of the Ummah. And he is the first Khalifa of the Muslims. Then a day or two prior to his death, i.e. the Saturday or the Sunday, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he recovered slightly and he recovered some of his strength and he went out to lead the people in the Dhuhr prayer. However, he was leaning on 2 of his companions. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was standing ready to lead the companions in the Salah. So when he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam approaching, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu began to step back. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he signaled to him to stay in your place. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he stayed in his place in front of the rest of the companions leading them in prayer. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he came and he sat down on the left hand side of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would lead the prayer sitting down and he would say Allahu Akbar, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would repeat the takbir of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam out aloud so people could hear. And then a day before his death, so this was the Sunday, a day before he died, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he fulfilled certain acts of kindness and charity. So firstly, he freed all the slaves which he had. Any slaves which he had, he freed them all. And also he possessed 7 dinars. He possessed 7 gold coins. And all those 7 gold coins he gave in charity. And also his weapons, he gifted to some of the Muslims. And also his armor or his shield, it was mortgaged with one of the Yahud who was living in Medina at that time. And therefore the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he paid off his mortgage. And also it is mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he sat in front of the companions. On that day, And then he said to him, Inna abdan khayyarahu Allahu bayna dunya wa bayna ma indallah. He said that verily a worshipper has been given a choice by Allah between the world and between that which is with Allah. Fakhtara ma indallah. So he has chosen that which is with Allah. And then the last blessed day which he lived upon this earth, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he raised his curtain from the chambers of Aisha radiallahu anha, and he saw the Muslims that they were performing the Fajr prayer, and this was a Monday, and the Muslims, they were led by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he lifted the curtain, he saw how the Muslims were standing in the prayer so close together, and how their rows were perfect. And so he smiled and he came out. And then again Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he withdrew, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat next to him to pray. And then this was the last prayer which he prayed. So this was the Fajr prayer of the Monday. So the last salah which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed was Fajr on Monday. And the last action which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did was the using of the miswak, because he was in the room of Aisha radiallahu anha, and he used to love using the miswak and cleaning his teeth. And he saw her brother Abdul Rahman, he entered the room, and with him was a miswak. And that at this time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was too weak to speak clearly. So he looked at Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr, and he signaled that he wanted the miswak. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she took the miswak and she softened it for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he cleaned his teeth with the miswak. And the last statement which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made was Allahumma ar-rafiq al-a'la, and this means, O Allah, the higher companionship. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said a number of times, Allahumma ar-rafiq al-a'la, O Allah, the higher companionship. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she remembered this statement from the previous days when he was healthy and strong. She said, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول وهو صحيح, that the Prophet, when he was well and strong, he would say, إنه لم يقبض نبي حتى يرى مقعده من الجنة ثم يخير, that no prophet is taken except that he's shown his place in Jannah, and then he's given the choice. فلما نزل به, and then when he became ill, on this day, ورأسه على فخذي, and his head was leaning on my thighs or my lap, غشي عليه, he became unconscious. ثم أفاق, then he gained his conscious once more. فأشخص بصره إلى سقف البيت, and then he raised his sight to the roof of the house, and then he said, اللهم الرفيق الأعلى, O Allah, the higher companionship. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, I said in myself, فعلمت أنه يخير, I understood that he was now being given the choice. وَأَنَّهُ لَا يَخْتَارَنَا, and that he isn't choosing us anymore. And Aisha radiallahu anha said, وَعَرَفْتُ أَنَّهُ الْحَدِيثُ الَّذِي كَانَ يُحَدِّثُنَا وَهُوَ صَحِيحٌ, I understood that this was the hadith which he used to inform us about when he was healthy and strong. And in another narration in Sahih Bukhari, Aisha radiallahu anha said, سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول, I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, I whilst his head was on her lap, اللهم اغفر لي, O Allah, forgive me, وارحمني, and have mercy upon me, وألحقني بالرفيق الأعلى, and join me with the higher companionship. And he raised his finger like this, and he said, Allahumma ar-rafiq al-a'la, O Allah, the higher companionship. She then said, وَسَقَطَتْ يَدُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And then the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it fell down. فَعَلِمْتُ أَنَّهُ قَدْ مَاتْ. So I knew that he had died. She said, and the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, فَكَانَتْ آخِرُ كَلِمَةِ تَكَلَّمَ بِهَا. And so the last words which he said was, Allahumma al-Rafiq al-A'la. And the author, rahimullah, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he died when he was 63 years old. And one view of the scholars is that he was 65 years old. And another view of the scholars was that he was 60 years old. And that which is correct is that he was 63 years old. And this is because in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, upon the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ تَوَفِّيَ وَهُوَ ابْنُ 63. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam died and he was 63 years. And the author said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam died on a Monday when the ad-duha, when it matured, meaning when it was late morning, before dhuhr, 12 nights of Rabi'ul Awwal, meaning the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal, this is when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam died. The author said that some of the scholars, they held the view that he died on the 2nd of Rabi'ul Awwal. And in reality, the ulama differed on which day the Prophet, on which date the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam died. So they agreed that he died 11th year after his hijrah. And they agreed that he died in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal. And they all agreed that he died on a Monday. However, which Monday is which is where there is a difference of opinion. So some of them said that he died on the 1st of Rabi'ul Awwal. And others said the 2nd of Rabi'ul Awwal. And some of them said he died on the 8th of Rabi'ul Awwal. And others said that he died on the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal. And the author, rahimullah, he said that the last view, this is the most correct. Meaning the view that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he died on the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal, this is the view of the majority of the ulama. And there is a small amount of ikhtilaf. The author said, وَدُفِنَ لَيْلَةُ الْأَرْبِعَى, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was buried on the night of the Wednesday. وَقِيلَ لَيْلَةُ الثُّلُثَى, and one view was that he was buried on the night of the Tuesday. وَكَانَتْ مُدَّةُ عِلَّتِهِ 12 يَوْمًا, and the number of days he was ill for was 12 days. وَقِيلَ 14 يَوْمًا, and one view is that 14 days, meaning the final illness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from which he died, it lasted between 12 to 14 days. However, in the last week, it became severe, and so he sought permission to be taken to the room of Aisha radiallahu anha, and then in the last 5, 4, and 3 days, it became more and more severe. He said, وَغَسَّلَهُ عَلِي ibn Abi Talib. And he was washed by Ali and the uncle of the Prophet Al-Abbas, and then two cousins of the Prophet Al-Fadl and Qutham, and also Usama ibn Zayd and Shukran, who was his freed slave. And at the washing was another companion called Aws ibn Khawla Al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. So the companions, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, they didn't know what to do. Is the Prophet to be washed or not? Some of them said that he should be washed. And others said that no, he should not be washed. Why? Because he is Tahir Mutahir. He is the pure one. And he is the one who came to purify other people, the rest of humanity. But the companions, they agreed upon washing him. And they didn't take the clothing of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam off. Rather, they washed him and he was in his clothing. And it is mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was wearing the izar, which is the lower garment, and a rida, which is an upper garment. And they would pour water on him on top of his garment, and they would rub his garment without rubbing his body. So they didn't remove his clothing like it is done with the rest of the Muslims. And it is mentioned that the uncle of the Prophet Al-Abbas and the two sons of Al-Abbas, Al-Fadl and Quthum, who were the cousins of the Prophet, they held the body of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would turn it towards the right and the left as they were washing him. And Usama and Shukran, they were both pouring the water upon the body of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Ali radiallahu anhu, he was the one who would rub the body or the clothing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is mentioned that Aus ibn Khawl al-Ansari, that he rested the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam against his chest. When they wanted to rest him on a particular side, then he rested him against his chest. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she narrated that the companions, they never took off the clothes of the Prophet. She said, "Lamma aradu ghusla an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam," that when they agreed on washing the body of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they said, "Wallahi ma nadri," by Allah, we do not know. "Anujarridu Rasulullahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam min thiyabihi kama nujarrid mawtana?" Should we remove the clothing of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam like we remove the clothing of our deceased? "Am naghsilhu wa alayhi thiyabuh?" Or should we wash him and he's wearing his clothing? And so the companions, they started differing amongst each other and debating amongst each other whether the clothing of the Prophet should be removed or not. She mentioned that when they differed, Allah caused them to fall into a sleep, a state of sleep. She said, "Hatta ma minhum rajul wa illa dhuqnuhu fi sadrihi," except that there was no man amongst them except that his chin was resting against his chest, meaning he fell into this state of slumber. And then a voice called out, and this voice said, "Anighsulu an-nabiyya wa alayhi thiyabuh," that wash the Prophet and he's in his clothing. And nobody knew where this voice was. So then all of them, those who were washing him, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they washed him above his clothing. And then the author said, "Wakuffina fi thalathati athwabin bidh," that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then he was shrouded in three white garments or pieces of cloth. He was shrouded in three white pieces of cloth, sahuliyya. And these cloth was sahuliyya. And this is an area in Yemen, as the author said. And it seems that the garments or the piece of clothing, it was a type of cotton, and Allah knows best. So they shrouded him in white clothing. And this is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to order with white garments. He used to say, "Albisu min thiyabikum albiyadh," that wear white clothes. فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ خَيْرِ ثِيَابِكُمْ, because it is the best of your clothing. وَكَفِّنُوا فِيهَا مَوْتَاكُمْ, and shroud your deceased in white garments. And so they chose three large pieces of white cloth, and they placed each cloth on top of itself. And then they placed the body of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam upon the cloth. And then each cloth was wrapped around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and tied, and then the second one, and then the third one. And it seems, and Allah knows best, that he was still in his clothing when they shrouded him. وَصَلَّى عَلَيْهِ الْمُسْلِمُونَ أَفْذَاذًا, and then the Muslims, they prayed the janazah prayer. Even though the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his sins are already forgiven, but the companions, they prayed the janazah prayer. However, they prayed the janazah prayer أَفْذَاذًا, as individuals, meaning there was no imam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his blessed body, it was placed upon his bed, shrouded in the chambers of Aisha radiallahu anha. And then people would enter into the room and they would pray the janazah. And they would enter one by one, or in groups of two, or in groups of three. And each one of them, they would individually pray the janazah without an imam. And first the men prayed, and then they left, and then the women came in and they prayed, and then they left, and the children came in and they prayed. And this took the majority of the day. So many people as individuals walking one by one in twos and threes, men, women and children. There's some of the authors that said maybe 10 or 12 hours it took for the Muslims to finish the janazah over the Prophet. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimullah, he mentions the wisdom of the companions praying the salah individually without an imam. And he said, إِنَّمَا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ مَرَّةً بَعْدَ مَرَّةً أَفْذَاذًا, that each one of them, they would pray one by one, i.e. as individuals, لِعِظَمِ قَدْرِهِ, because of how great his status is. That who could be the imam in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then the author said, وَفُورِشَ تَحْتُهُ قَطِيفَ حُمْرَى كَانَ يَتَغَطَّى بِهَا. And then beneath him, a piece of red velvet was placed, which he used to cover himself with when he was alive. وَدَّخَلَ قَبْرُهُ الْعَبَّاسِ وَعَلِي وَالْفَضَلُ وَالْقُثُمُ وَالشُّقْرَانِ. And then the grave was dug, the hole was dug, and Al-Abbas, his uncle, Ali and Fadl and Qutham, his cousins, and Shukran, his freed slave, all of them, they entered into the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وَأُطْبِقَ عَلَيْهِ تِسْعَ الْأَبِنَاتِ. And then nine stones or bricks were placed. He said, وَدُفِنَ فِي الْمَوْضِعِ الَّذِي تَوَفَّاهُ اللَّهُ فِيهِ حَوْلَ فِرَاشِهِ. And that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was buried under the place of the bed. Wherever the bed was, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam died, this is where he was buried. When it came to the burial of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and by this time one or two days had passed from his death sallallahu alayhi wasallam to the washing of his body and the shrouding, and then the janazah, which took a long time, and the difference of the companions amongst each other because all of them were unsure what to do, one or two days had passed by. And also the Muslims then differed, where should the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam be buried? Because he didn't give an explicit direction. So some of the Muslims said that he should be buried where he is. And other Muslims said rather he should be buried with his companions, i.e. in Al-Baqi. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, سَمِعْتُ مِن رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ شَيْئًا مَا نَسِيتُهُ, that I heard from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam something which I have never forgotten. That he said, مَا قَبَضَ اللَّهُ نَبِيًّا, Allah has never taken the soul of a prophet, إِلَّا فِي الْمَوْضِعِ الَّذِي يُحِبْ أَن يُدْفَنَ فِيهِ, except in the place which he loves to be buried in. So when the companions heard this hadith from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had said this, then the place where the bed of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was, upon which he died, they removed the bed and they dug the grave under the bed. And it is said that this was wasatul layl min laylatul arbi'a, that this was in the middle of the night, laylatul arbi'a, the night of Wednesday, i.e. Tuesday night. وَحُفِرَ لَهُ, and it was dug for him. وَأُلْحِدَ فِي بَيْتِهِ, and also the lahad, the niche, it was dug for him in the house, i.e. the house of Aisha. ثُمَّ دُفِنَ مَعَهُ أَبُو بَكَرُ عُمَرُ, and then later on, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, both of them were buried next to him. After the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam died, Aisha radiallahu anha, his beloved wife, she always desired that she would be buried next to him. However, when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when his death was approaching, he requested from Aisha radiallahu anha that she allow him to be buried there. And then she allowed him to be buried there. And then when Umar radiallahu anhu, when his death was approaching, وَقَدْ قُتِلَ مَظْلُومًا, and he was killed, oppressed as a martyr, he was killed by the Majusi, Abu Lu'lu'a, he was killed by him. He also requested from Aisha radiallahu anha that he is allowed to be buried next to Abu Bakr and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and so he was done. Ali radiallahu an, when he saw that Umar is being buried in the same place where Abu Bakr was buried, in the same place where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was buried, he said, "Inni kuntu adhunnu dhalik," that I used to knew this. I knew that this would happen, that both of them or all of them would be together after their death. Why? فَإِنِّي كُنْتُ سَمِعْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ دَائِمًا يَقُولُ. Because I used to always hear the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, ذَهَبْتُ أَنَا وَأَبُو بَكْرُ عُمَرُ. That I went, me, Abu Bakr and Umar. وَدَخَلْتُ وَأَنَا وَأَبُو بَكْرُ عُمَرُ. And I entered, me, Abu Bakr and Umar. وَخَرَجْتُ أَنَا وَأَبُو بَكْرُ عُمَرُ. And I exited from the house, me and Abu Bakr and Umar. Meaning during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would always mention that it was me, Abu Bakr and Umar. Us three, we went somewhere. Us three, we came back. Us three decided on something. So Ali radiallahu anhu, by this, he understood that in their life, they were always together. And even after their death, they're going to be buried in the same place. And he said that these two, Abu Bakr and Umar, they were his wazir during his life. Meaning they were his ministers, his disciples, his confidants, his advisors during his life. And they are the ones who lay next to him after his death. And then after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the narration is in Sahih al-Bukhari, Aisha radiallahu anha, she came out of the room and she was in a state of shock and denial. And she met Umar radiallahu anhu, and he's the Faruq of this ummah. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he shouted or he screamed, Ma mata Rasulullah, that the Messenger of Allah has not died. Wa rafa'a as-sayf, and he raised his sword. And he said, Wallahi, la'a'luwanna bi-sayfi hadha kullu man za'ama anna Rasulullah qad mat. Anybody who claims that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has died, this sword is going to go over them. Meaning he was in a state of denial. And this is a natural reaction to a disaster, shock and denial. And he claimed, Umar, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّمَا ذَهَبَ إِلَى لِقَاءِ رَبِّهِ. He has only gone to meet his Lord. Like Musa went to meet his Lord. And the Prophet is going to come back from meeting his Lord, like Musa came back after meeting his Lord. And he said that I will chop off the hands or the legs of any person who says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has died, i.e. a state of shock and denial. Umar radiallahu anhu later on, he said, Wallahi ma kana yaqa' fi qalbi illa dhak. That this was my true emotions. This was what was in my heart. By Allah, these were the emotions which were in my heart. Uthman radiallahu anhu was not able to speak. They mention regarding Ali radiallahu anhu that he sat down on the floor, also not able to speak. And this was the state of the best of the ummah, meaning Aisha and Umar and Ali and Uthman. This was their state, this was their shock and their denial. So then what do you think about all of the other companions and the state and the situation they were in? And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came, and he came into or near the where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was shrouded in the room or the chamber of Aisha radiallahu anha. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam at this time he had died, but he had not been buried. So he removed the shroud from the face of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then he kissed him on his forehead. And then he said, "Bi abi wa ummi, by my father and my mother, tibta hayyan wa mayyitan, you were good and pure in your life, and you are good and pure in your death. Walladhi nafsi bi yadih, and I take an oath by the one in whose hand is my soul, la yudhiquka Allah al-mautataini abada, that Allah will never allow you to taste two deaths." And in one narration he said, طِبْتَ حَيًّا وَمَيِّتًا, that you are pure in your life and in your death, Ya Rasulullah. وَأَمَّا الْمَوْتَ أَلَّتِي قَدْ كَتَبَهَا اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ فَقَدْ ذُقْتَهَا. And as for the death which Allah has decreed for you, you have tasted this death. وَلَا أَلَمٌ عَلَيْكَ بَعْدَ الْيَوْمِ. And after this day, there is no more pain for you. And then he came out, and he heard Umar radiallahu anhu taking that oath, that I swear that the Prophet has not died. I swear that I will strike a person with my sword who says that the Prophet has died. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he stood in front of the companions, and Umar radiallahu anhu, he sat down. Fahamidallah. So Abu Bakr, he praised Allah subhanahu wa athna alayhi, and he extolled him with words of tasbih and hamd. And then he said, Ala man kana ya'budu Muhammad mat. Verily, whoever used to worship Muhammad, Muhammad has died. وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ. And whoever used to worship Allah, Allah is Al-Hay. Allah is the eternal living. And He is the one who does not die. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu recited, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. Verily you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will die and they will die. And then he recited, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu recited, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ. And Muhammad was only a messenger, and many messengers came and passed before him. And on this day, the companions, all of them, they were shaken. And it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu who stayed firm with these beautiful words of Tawheed, مَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهِ مَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ مُحَمَّدًا فَإِنَّ فَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا قَدْ مَاتْ. Whoever used to worship Muhammad has died. وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتْ. And whoever worships Allah, then know that Allah is the all living and He does not die. And then after this, there is one doubt which is spread, and that is with regards to building masajid over the graves of the awliya, and building mausoleums and tombs and domes over the graves of the awliya and the righteous. And the people who do this, one of the evidences which they use is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was buried in his masjid, and therefore it is allowed for us to build a masjid over a grave. And if it's allowed for a masjid to be built over a grave, then tombs and mausoleums and domes and the mazars, they are permitted to be built. And in reality, if we know the story of the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there's no evidence in this. Firstly, because only a few days before his death, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say? لَعْنَ اللَّهَ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى. The curse of Allah is upon the Yahud and the Nasara. اتَّخَذُوا قُبُورَ أَنْبِيَاهِمْ مَسَاجِدْ. Because they took the grave of their prophets to be masajid. And the meaning of masajid here is places of worship, because the whole earth is a masjid, i.e. place of worship. Aisha radiallahu anha said, يُحَذِّرُ مَا صَنَعُوا, that the Prophet was warning the companions from what the Jews and the Christians did. Second point, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was never buried in the masjid. Rather, he was buried in the house or the room of Aisha radiallahu anha. And the room of the Aisha radiallahu anha was external to the masjid. And also Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu when he was buried, and Umar radiallahu anhu when he was buried, all of them were buried in the room of Aisha radiallahu anha. None of them were buried in the masjid. This wasn't the part of the masjid. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was only buried there because of the hadith that he told the companions, a prophet is buried wherever his soul is taken. Second point. The third point is that after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, the masjid was expanded because Medina grew and the inhabitants grew and the number of Muslims grew and more people were coming to Al-Madina. However, during the life of the Khulafa, all four Khulafa, they expanded the masjid, but they never expanded the masjid to include the room of Aisha into the masjid. So they would expand the masjid westward because where the Prophet was buried was towards the east. And they kept that where it was. And they kept expanding towards west. And then 88 years after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one of the rulers, and he was Abdul Malik Marwan from the Umayyin, and the majority of the companions had died at this stage, and the four Khulafa of course had died, and the senior companions had died. He then decided to expand the Masjid An-Nabawi and expand it eastward and westward. And then the rooms and the chambers of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the chambers of Fatima radiallahu anha, they were brought into the masjid. And he was incorrect in that which he did. It wasn't correct which he did. And for this reason, the scholars of that time, they rebuked the action which he did. However, since that time until now, it remained as it is. And as I mentioned, this happened 88 years after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after the death of the majority of the Sahaba. And many other Sahaba had traveled to Sham, to Palestine, to Iraq, Basra, Kufa, so on and so forth. And it has remained like that until now. And the only reason why it hasn't been removed or destroyed or made separate is because of the possible fitna which it will cause. That the people of doubts and the people of innovation, they will say, look what the Wahhabis are doing now. They're destroying the grave of the Prophet. They're destroying history. They're destroying cultural places and so on and so forth. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم.